The Fan on Demand. Have you got game? Got game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Coming up on this week's show, Tiger Woods gets a friend. He won't be alone on the next edition of his popular video game. We'll tell you who will be joining him. Rockstar blindsides us with the news that Grand Theft Auto 5 is on the way. We'll share our thoughts on what we can expect. Plus, we'll have a review of one of the most anticipated games of the year, Battlefield 3. As well as I'll have my thoughts on Kinect Sports Season 2. And there's still time to get your entries in for our Forza 4 contest.
Have you got game? The Loda.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I am Omen Qureshi, joined as always by Brian Calhoun and Christine Chubb. You will notice the absence of one Zachary Cooper. That's because he is a good man doing his civic duty, has been drawn for jury duty, and will not be with us as a regular host for the next foreseeable future while he sits on the jury, but he will be joining us later on via telephone to give us his thoughts on Battlefield 3 when Calhoun and Cooper will team up to review it. I will have my review of Kinect Sports 2 in the next segment. We'll also hear from the Jays, JP, Aaron, Sebia from the Kinect Sports 2 event that I was at. But we will begin with some sports news, sort of. EA has announced this past week that Ricky Fowler has been selected by fan vote to join Tiger Woods on the cover of Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13 in North America. The choice was made by a three-week voting contest where Ricky Fowler defeated Bubba Watson with 52% of the vote, so not a large margin by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm sure I join a lot of people on the periphery of golf by saying...
Yeah. I am somewhat of a golf fan, so I know that Ricky Fowler is quite a good golfer. He's one of the guys towards the top of the ranks these days.
I'm not denying the man's skill. I'm sure he's extremely
but
talented.
But I agree with you. In terms of trying to have pull and and a name on the cover, it is a peculiar choice.
First off, let's not get away from the fact that this is the second time EA has felt the need to put someone on the cover of Tiger Woods. So I'm wondering, if you're not trusting the guy to carry your brand anymore, why have him on your brand at all?
Well, no, who did they have on the cover before? I know they had the flag last year, right? The flag from the Masters?
He may have just shared it with the flag, or it might have been him and Phil Mickelson, but he wasn't...
Yeah.
If I remember the cover in my head, the flag was the center of the cover, and he was in a corner.
Yeah.
So he wasn't exactly centerpiece of his own game.
You're right. There's a few things surrounding Tiger. One is obviously the scandal from a couple years ago. Two is his game has dropped off severely. His game has dropped off severely. He's not the player that he used to be. He may regain that form. This season was obviously a big one in terms of the moniker of what will happen to him in the future. But
I just want to say that I think that scandal might have passed enough, though, that I don't know if it's a problem.
Well, we'll see. Obviously, we'll see. They obviously feel the need not to have him on there by himself. And Ricky Fowler is an interesting choice. He is a good golfer. I don't know whether he has the name to the non-golfing public. But then again, I don't know how much of the non-golfing public is buying this game anyway.
That's true. But also, there's a few other golfers you could choose that are a little bit more known to the general public. Phil Mickelson?
Yeah, but Phil and Tiger sharing a cover, that's like oil and water, man. Those two do not get along. They are not friends, and I do not know that Tiger would want him on the cover. I think he's in the game, but I don't know if he'd want him on the cover of the game.
Well, I'm just saying that there are golfers out there who,
sure,
regardless of skill, or at least known a little bit better.
There's lots of people out there who are bigger names who they could put on that cover.
In the end, it was the people who voted.
Yep.
So hopefully these are going to be the people who buy the game.
I kind of wish it was Bubba Watson, because I know you two are not golf fans, but if you've ever seen Bubba Watson, is like a good old Southern boy who plays golf, and he is awesome in interviews. He's got like the thick Southern drawl when he talks, but he's very like country boy, and you always picture golf as a very pish-posh sport, but he brings sort of a, if I will, Calhoun, a bit of NASCAR edge to golf, which is awesome.
From a guy named Bubba.
Yeah, his nickname obviously is Bubba. I don't think his mom actually named him Bubba.
Are you sure about that?
You never know.
But how great would it be to have two guys named Bubba and Tiger on the cover of a game?
Bubba and Tiger's Golf.
That would be amazing.
Bubba and Tiger's Golf Adventure 2013.
Yeah. See, we should work for EA. That is a perfect pitch. But alas, it is Ricky Fowler, and we wish Ricky Fowler well. Congratulations, Ricky, on being on the cover of Tiger Woods 13. I'm sure it'll be... It's always a big selling game every year, so I have a feeling this year will be no different. Speaking of big selling games.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a rumor that this little game that people have played here and there called Grand Theft Auto. We will be getting some sort of announcement on Tuesday. Now, the story
goes...
We should
confirm, you just said rumor. Yeah. It's rumor. Not a rumor. Yeah, exactly. We have a countdown clock.
That's true. Let's back up and tell the story. Rockstar has revealed what everyone already expected to be true. Another Grand Theft Auto game is on the way. With little fanfare, the developer posted a link on their site via Twitter. And on the other end of that link, you would find an image that says Grand Theft Auto 5 and a countdown clock promising the game's first trailer will be revealed on November 2nd, which is on Tuesday. So it looks like we're going to get our first taste of the long-awaited, highly anticipated. Christine, you can hardly contain yourself.
So
your arms are shaking and you're so excited. Grand Theft Auto 5, and we all know, obviously, GTA 4, which came out, I think it was in 2008, maybe?
Yes, that sounds right.
One game of the year, was a fantastic game. People absolutely loved it, ate it up. It had some DLC and stuff. But now
DLC looks like, was great as well.
Yeah, that was awesome. Ballad of Gay Tony, right? Was one of the DLCs on that?
Yeah, that was actually a really awesome one. But the one I had more fun with was The Lost in Damned, which...
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, the characters were not as great as in the Ballad of Gay Tony, but the multiplayer had a lot of cool elements in it. And the great thing about GTA 4 multiplayer was that the main campaign and the two DLCs all had slightly different multiplayer, which kept everything fresh. And my favorite was actually in The Lost and Damned.
Okay, so let's talk about it. Rockstar are awesome at making games. They're the same people who put out Red Dead Redemption last year. They've made this game. They put out L.A. Noire this year. GTA, by far, the most popular franchise.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of discussion on Twitter this week about where this game will be set. Christine, I know that's something that you were bantering about.
It was.
Let's hear from you. What do you think?
Well, one thing I just want to say first was I love that Rockstar threw this out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. They blindsided
people. It came up, and I've never seen the Twitter universe explode so fast with excitement and then where this game was going to be. Some people were saying they wanted to go back to the original first game in London. Some people were saying they'd go, like, California style. I was thinking it would be cool if it's DC because the V is in the shape of money, and DC is a beautiful place to have kind of really cool looking buildings to drive by.
Just to be clear, we're talking about Washington, D.C., not the DC universe, which would be awesome too.
I just think it'd be, it's so exciting. Like, it's literally their entire website became the advertisement for Grand Theft Auto 5, and it comes at us as an awesome time, and I'm so excited for it.
Well, me and you were tweeting back and forth, and my two votes were space.
Yes.
I think it would be amazing if Grand Theft Auto took place in space, and the other vote I had was for Atlantis. I think it's high time that Grand Theft Auto moved underwater, and it was in the lost city of Atlantis where we could have racehorse chases and stuff like that. Brian?
My theory right now is I'm going with the internet who says they're going back to Vice City. Mm. And the reason everyone keeps saying this is because in the manual of one of the games, I think it was probably when they released the two GTA 4 DLCs as one game on disc, there was a manual inside that box. And on the manual, there was sort of an advertisement saying, goodbye, Liberty City, next stop. And the corner of that advertisement was just sort of just a little image. It was kind of blurry. You couldn't make out exactly what it was. But the internet being the internet, they went through and they searched and they found that it seems to be the corner of a poster that you'll find inside a shop in Vice City. I think this was like maybe what... 2 years ago, this all happened.
I love video game fans and how much that we will dig and try to find information and pull apart little clues and stuff.
Yeah, a few people had said that that's why it was GTA V, was the V was for Vice City instead of just having it be 5. And I'm fine with it. It's Vice City. I think it's cool.
And the strange thing is that, and I didn't put this together until this right now, the little image on the Rockstar website that's actually in place of possibly the trailer when the countdown clock runs out says GTA V, and then over top of V is written 5. Now, I just thought that was because Rockstar
people doesn't know Roman numerals anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But if it was Grand Theft Auto V:5, that would make a little bit more sense.
It's exciting. I'm so excited. This is what I love about games like this.
Yeah.
Everybody just goes crazy for it. I mean, some people were even saying there were going to be the options of the female player instead of it always being the man player.
Yeah.
And it's...
Well, I mean, there's no question Grand Theft Auto is one of the most popular, most successful, most beautifully done games we've seen in video games in the last 10 years, particularly Grand Theft Auto 4, which came out a few years ago, which people absolutely loved. They've had San Andreas. They've had a few different incarnations on the PSP as well. So, you know, I mean, there's no question that people are definitely excited about this. And you're right, Christine. This news pretty much came out of nowhere. We all kind of thought it was coming eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it's almost here has people just chomping at the bit and so excited.
Well, especially because they were just focusing on the 10-year reunion of 3 and all the things they were bringing out for that. So it's like, oh, isn't that nice? And then suddenly, bam, 5 is coming.
So obviously, stick with Got Game. We will have all the details of what that announcement is about on next week's show. We'll talk about what the details are, where the game takes place. Hopefully, we'll know all those details.
Yeah, when the trailer's released on Tuesday.
When the trailer's released, and when it's released, we'll throw it up on our blog at fan590.com. Check the Got Game blog. Of course, next week, also a huge week, because a little game called Uncharted 3 comes out on Tuesday. I don't know if people have heard about this Uncharted franchise or not. It was kind of popular, number one, number two, I think one game of the year in 2007, 2009. So that comes out on Tuesday, and I know that we'll have the review. I know Jury Duty Zach is going to be playing it, as will I, and we'll have our thoughts about Uncharted 3 on next week's show. There is some news from the world of Nintendo, and we know that they have been on a downward spiral, and this news basically confirms it. Nintendo predicts their first annual loss in 30 years on yen, which is obviously the currency in Japan, right? China, Japan.
Yeah, Nintendo is a Japanese company.
Obviously, it's Japan. I should know. I read the business numbers every night when I'm doing my newscast. The 3DS, they forecast its first annual loss in almost 30 years after the yen reached a polestar high, and the new 3DS console had weaker than expected sales, which is weaker than expected sales. That's putting it mildly. The net loss may be 20 billion yen, which adds up to $264 million for the year ending in March, compared with the previous projection of 20 billion yen profit. You go from a 20 billion yen profit projection to a 20 billion yen deficit.
Yeah.
That is a gigantic sin. Sales drop. Sin for them, I guess. And I'm sorry. That is not weaker than expected sales. That is brutal sales.
That's a bombshell. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Nintendo can do to get themselves out of this. I mean, the Wii U doesn't come out till next year, and we're all skeptical about that. The rest of this year, in terms of games, I mean, they have Zelda Skyward Sword, which is, I guess, their big one, which should sell reasonably well. Other than that, they got some Mario titles for the 3DS. I mean, they don't really have anything too powerful
coming out
in
their nothing.
Landscape.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I mean, they waited too long to actually get the Wii U out of there. They were riding on the success of the Wii, which... You want to know what? Kind of dropped out rather suddenly. One day it was really hot. The next day it was in the back of most people's closets. So they got caught off guard. But with every other Nintendo story, what's going to happen is they're going to wait until the Wii U comes out. The hordes of Nintendo fans will buy it. They'll be fine.
I don't know.
I don't know, Christine. We all got to try it at E3. And it's an interesting idea.
It's quirky.
There's some cool applications.
Absolutely there is, but it's one of those wait and see. I don't think I can definitively say that people are going to go out and buy it. I'm not going to say they're not going to, but I'm just going to say we definitely need to see a lot more.
I think they're stuck in a rut too, where it's just going to be the same thing that's happened in the last three releases, where it's going to come out in 6 months and then there's not going to be a game for it till the summer. And then it's just going to have the same motion where they're not going to push, especially with the numbers drop down, if they decide they're going to push the Wii U sales up earlier, they're still not going to have any games for it. And it's going to be in the same thing as the 3DS. And
I
wonder.
Not that worried about that, though, because one thing
Nintendo
that we saw.
Is, I'm sure.
One thing that we saw, though, during the E3 press conference when they were talking about the Wii U was, hey, we're going to have this third party game. We're going to have this third party
game. That's true. They did.
They brought out a lot of them. So I think they may be taking the problem of games a little seriously.
But they did the same thing with the 3DS. And then suddenly this year at E3, they're announcing the same games they announced last year. I mean, who knows when these games are going to be available?
They're definitely in a lot of trouble. We have a lot to see. I mean, with games like Uncharted and Battlefield and the announcement of GTA 5 coming out, Nintendo's kind of, they're spinning their tires right now. So we'll see what happens. Still to come on Got Game, we're going to hear from the Blue Jays catcher, J.P. Arencibia. Why is he on our show? Well, I had a very interesting and I thought rather funny chat with him at the launch for Kinect Sports 2 earlier this week, where he talked about how he and his buddy Brett Laurie get pretty serious into gaming. You'll want to check that out. Plus, I'll have my review of Kinect Sports 2, and later on in the show, we'll review Battlefield 3. So that's all still to come on Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We've got game. Do you... In the game.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Momin Qureshi, joined as always by Brian Calhoun and Christine Chubb. Zach Cooper not with us for the next little while, as he is off doing a civic duty as a juror in a trial, but he will be joining us next segment when we review Battlefield 3 along with Brian Calhoun. But first, we're going to go to earlier this week on a Monday, Xbox held their Kinect Sports 2 launch event, and it was pretty fun. I went down there and checked it out, and Damon Allen, now CFL Hall of Fame, newly elected CFL Hall of Fame quarterback, was there. Jeff Rivet from Xbox was there, and as was the Blue Jays catcher J.P. Arencibia. Now, I had a chance to talk to all three. If you want to hear the interview with Damon Allen and with Jeff Rivet and see some pictures from the event and find out the details about Kinect Sports 2, which I'll be reviewing in a moment after this interview, you can go to our Got Game blog at fan590.com and check it out. But my conversation with JP was actually pretty funny. It was pretty entertaining because I had seen some talk on Twitter about him and how much he loved video games. And I thought, well, I gotta, you know, get up to him and talk to him about that. And our discussion was I think pretty funny as we bantered back and forth about his love of video games. But I started off by talking about the fact that I saw him and Damon Allen playing in a game of Kinect baseball, and he was putting the boots to Damon Allen pretty good. So here is my talk with Blue Jays catcher J.P. Arencibia here on Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. J.P. Arencibia, catcher for the Jays. J.P., we're at the launch of Kinect Sports 2, and I saw you, to start off, I want to say, I saw you playing with Damon Allen of the Argos CFL Hall of Fame quarterback. And you were laying a pretty severe beatdown in Kinect baseball, holding up for your sport.
It was domination. It was. I didn't want to have to do it, but I did it. He's a great guy, and I didn't want to run up to score, but it was one of those things I had to do it.
Well, you got to. I mean, that's what you learn in professional sports, right? You got to put your foot down when you can.
Of course, I think that you know, being a football player, if I would have let him beat me, it wouldn't have looked good, you know. So I had to really step up my game.
Now, how was the baseball part of it? Because, I mean, obviously you play the real thing, so how was the actual baseball video game part?
Well, that's always tough to emulate, you know. Like, you know, anyone can want to, you know, make a game about the actual game, but it's close. It kind of, it gives you that feel to be able to be a part of it. You still got, you know, the throwing motion, the swinging motion, it's still part of it, but it's always tough to emulate the actual game speed. But, you know, it's cool. I think what it's doing for kids is cool because it gets them off the couch. And if, let's say, they can't play and go outside in the winter and play, they can play and make their, you know, couch or whatever, their home family room, they can make, that's their arena, that's their Skydome, you know, their Rogers Center.
Of course, and especially with us up here in the winter with the snow, it's good. It gives you the indoor playground.
Well, that's the thing, you know, and the big thing is you know, now with the Blue Jays, one of our big movements is getting kids out there learning about, you know, healthy living, the eating right, the exercising. And this is a big part because, you know, I grew up in a generation where I just sat down and played video games. And now it's actual, you know, they can play and they can kind of get a workout out of it. And they can kill two birds really with one stone.
Now, you brought it up, so I want to talk to you a bit about it. I've seen your buddy, your homeboy, Brett Lowry tweet about video games and you guys playing together and a little bit about Mario Brothers action. I mean, talk to me about the kind of games that you guys play.
We play Mario Brothers. That's Mario Kart. For a while we were big on Mario Brothers. I was Mario, he was Luigi, and it was a competitive game.
Now, was it tag team action? Were you guys trying to save the princess together, or were you going head to head?
No. We're a team. This is a serious. We're trying to go and save princess. This is no game matter. Right? This is a serious event that we were trying to take.
Oh, their lives at stake.
Yeah, I mean, we needed to get princess. If we don't save princess, we don't go to sleep.
And how'd it go?
We saved princess.
Nice, so job well done then.
Yeah, it was a good time on Mario Brothers.
Now, obviously we know the Jays are one of the youngest teams in the major leagues. Video games are bigger with the younger generation. How much gaming is there in the clubhouse and on you know, plane rides and stuff like that with you guys?
I think more in the plane rides, more on the road in the hotel rooms, more than in a clubhouse. You know, sometimes you'll have a game console, but you know, I don't remember any of our guys playing a video game this year in the clubhouse on a console. But they're there, and it's just something that a lot of guys do, and old to young, a lot of guys are into them. And now this is something where I think it kind of changes the generation where older people can play this and have fun as well.
Talking to J.P. Arencibia, Jays catcher on Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Now, J.P., we're here obviously at the Kinect Sports 2 launch. Back when we were kids, the games were on, it was on your couch with your thumbs. A whole different ball game now, getting up and playing around, and you work up a sweat when you play these games. This is no laughing matter.
No, for real. I think I was playing the baseball, and you got to kind of run. You got to emulate the run, and you know, after a long game, it's it's going to be a good workout, and I think that's cool. I think it's cool that, you know, they're able to do that now with kids, and kind of, like I said, you know, you want to play video games, and now you can make it into something where maybe your parents let you play video games because it's a form of exercise.
Now, do you think this will work into the J.P. Aaron CBA off-season training regimen?
No, I take that serious, and that's all weights. That's a lot of stuff that goes on. Will I play it? Yeah, but will I count it as any exercise for me? No.
I don't know. I can imagine if you and Brett got together and played a game, it would get pretty intense, and you'd work up quite a sweat, and it would be a workout, no?
Yeah, I mean, we'd get a workout, and we would count it in as a workout, but I wouldn't count it as one of my workouts.
That's my conversation with Blue Jays catcher J.P. Aaron-Sebia about all things video games, and it's pretty funny to hear that he and Jays rookie third baseman, Canadian Brett Laurie, take hunting down Bowser and getting the princess back for Mario very, very serious. It's serious
awesome.
Business for those guys, so I thought that was great with our conversation.
If you don't get the princess, you don't sleep.
That's what he said. If you don't get the princess, you don't get to sleep, and so it's JP and Brett working very hard. But we were at the Kinect Sports 2 launch, and I did get a copy of the game and had a chance to play it a fair bit, and I gotta tell you, this game, a sequel to Kinect Sports 1, which is the highest selling game for the Kinect, they sold over 3 million copies. Kinect Sports Season 2, actually a pretty fun game. 6 new games in this game: tennis, golf, skiing, baseball, football, and darts.
Now, darts,
you would,
nice.
A lot of people raised their eyebrow at darts, and I did too. I thought, really, darts? But when I play it, it's actually really fun. And it's funny, one of the things I talked to JP about was that he really enjoyed it. He liked the golf and the darts were the two that he was really into. And the darts basically is what you'd think. It's playing darts. And, you know, you got to throw at the target. But it's probably the most challenging of the 6 games. It was really frustrating to... It's very accurate and very tough to get on the target. And there were times where I was throwing the darts like, ah, come on! Like, I cannot believe I can't get this.
Wow, I think Pub Night at the Chubb House just got a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned 6 new games. Are there any repeats from last...
No, there are 6 brand new games. None of these 6 games were in the last one, I don't think. Because last time it was like track and field, soccer, and some other ones. I don't remember any of these being in this one.
Football, I remember. That's about it.
Yeah, and no, football's in this one. It wasn't in the last one. The football is actually the one I probably had the most fun with, where it's cool because you can play as yourself or you play as a quarterback and you only play offense. The defense is all simulated. And yeah, you play as a quarterback and it gives you a choice of 6 plays that you can choose. They're all pass plays. There's no running. And or you can put it on to coach. The coach decides to play for you if you're not really a football savvy person, and it'll say, okay, we'll pick the play for you. Or you can play with a buddy where one of you plays as the quarterback and one of you plays as the receiver. And it's pretty neat, actually. Zach and I tried this out at E3 where I was the quarterback and he was the receiver, and we played a game together, and we didn't end up winning the game, and Zach threw all the blame on me, but we all know it's actually his fault.
Of course. One thing that you were talking about with me earlier was the voice controls.
Yeah. It's, one of the great additions to this game is that you can use voice controls. So when you're playing the football, for example, you can choose your play, and then when you get down under center, you actually yell out the word hike. And you know, you can in golf, you can yell out the word practice if you want to take a practice shot, say ready to take aim, you'll take your next shot. So each of the games has a certain amount of voice commands in it, which is pretty much what the Kinect was all about when they kind of pitched it and sold it. And the voice controls are actually pretty good in this game. You know, it works reasonably well. It functions reasonably well, and it adds a lot to the game. And what's cool about it is each one of the games also has a challenge mode. For example, in the tennis, there's a mode where you have to hit as many mascots as you can, and you're on the court, and all these like sort of Kinect mascots come running on, and you got to hit as many as you can. In golf, it's like a target practice where the target keeps moving around and around, and you got to try to hit as many as you can. And so in darts, it's like this balloon popping one where there's like balloons you got to hit on the dartboard and they keep moving around. And so each one of them moves, and you can all, you can save your high scores. And, you know, Christine, if you have it and if I have it, you can see all my high scores and you can try to beat my levels and beat my scores. And you can also play online. So overall, I thought, this game was actually pretty good. It's pretty fun. It's pretty enjoyable. I had played Kinect Sports 2 a lot when it came out, and I actually think that this one is, in some respects, better. I mean, the track and field was definitely a big part of the original one. But overall, I really enjoyed this game. I thought it was a really fun game, and I give it a very solid 7.5 out of 10. So if you're looking for kind of a family game to maybe play with your kids and get a little active, definitely broke a sweat playing this game. Kinect Sports 2, good choice to get. 7.5 out of 10 for me. And also just want to quickly mention that Xbox also had their Disney preview event on Thursday night. I did go down there. I spoke to Jeff Revay from Xbox Canada about the Disneyland Adventures game, which is a very cool game where you get to immerse yourself into the world of Disneyland. And there's another game called Disney Universe, which it's kind of like a little Big Planet esque, but you get to play it as like I think 50 something Disney characters. And I also spoke to two Disney stars. Their names are Hutch Dano and Adam Hicks, and they're on the Disney show Zeke and Luther. And if you have any tweens in your family, I'm sure you know what this show is all about. You can listen to all three interviews and on our blog post at fan590.com on the Got Game blog. Check it out. We got a little bit of time here, so let's talk about the fact that Konami, believe it or not, is still making PS2 games. That's right, you heard me right.
And PS2 sports games, actually. I mean, I've talked to a few Got Game listeners, and I know there are a few out there who they're not into next-gen consoles yet. It might be too expensive for them. They're still rocking the PS2, and I was a little shocked by that. Maybe I shouldn't be, but, you know, in the job we do, we see so many new games, or we're on the cutting edge of all the new technology. Sometimes it's easy to forget about those consoles, but there are people still rocking them, and for those people, you can now play Pro Evolution Soccer 2012 on your PS2, or if you have a PSP, you can play on that.
Well, you know, a lot of people may be saying, what? PS2 games still? Well, Calhoun, you had a chance to talk to Jay Boer from Konami, who addresses the question of, why are you still making PS2 games? And we have that interview right here on Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I mean, the PlayStation 2 is not only popular in South America, it's huge in North America as well. I mean, it's probably... I mean, the install base on the PlayStation 2 is huge, and that SKU is still relevant to us. I think as you do more downloadable titles, you know, maybe that's something that we look to. But people still use PS2s; people still play them, and our fans ask for it. You know, so we have to listen to our fans, and you know, the feedback that we get is, you know, we want to grow the next market, absolutely, but we can't forget about, you know, what got us to the dance in the first place. You know, PES has done really well on next-gen systems historically, and there's so many PS2s out there, and we can't really divulge actual sales numbers, but the PS2 SKU sells extremely well still.
If that's true, why don't we see more PlayStation 2 games coming out of you guys right now?
That's a good question. I think that at some point you kind of have to taper off and make development decisions. You know, do you spend, you know, $10 million, $20 million on developing, you know, a really high-end PS2 game, or do you take your chances on next-gen systems? You know, it's really boils down to it's a company decision. The good news with PES is a great example of, you know, we've been developing for the PS2 for so long that we can develop a next-gen SKU and still finely tune the PS2 version simultaneously because we have the development resources. Not a lot of companies these days are in that position still. You know, we, on the other hand, are.
That's Jay Boer from Konami talking about why in the world Konami is still making PS2 games. Very interesting. Still to come on Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, we're going to delve into one of the most anticipated games of the year. It is called Battlefield 3. I think it needs very little introduction, but Brian Calhoun and Zach Cooper are going to tell us all about whether it lives up to the hype coming up next here on Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Make your friends weep with envy. Win wicked prizes inside the fan club. Join today at fan590.com. We've got game. Do you? Gameplay.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Momin Qureshi with you, joined by Brian Calhoun and Christine Chubb. And Zach Cooper is away on jury duty for the next little while, but he is joining us by the magic of telephone. Mr. Cooper, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hello. I understand you were on your lunch break right now.
Yeah, I had to step away from the courthouse. I've gotten to a safe distance, and I'm ready to talk about some Battlefield 3.
I bet you told, did you tell the judge, Your Worship, I understand this is important, but I have a show to tape, so if you could just hang on.
Yeah, it went something like that.
All right, so we are going to talk about one of the most anticipated games of the year, Battlefield 3. Lots of people clamoring to get their hands on this, some people salivating in the mouth. Zach, I know you played it, as did our resident Doctor Who, Brian Calhoun. Brian, take it away. How was Battlefield 3?
And you know what? It's great that Zach is actually in a place where he's in a position to dispense justice, because we have an injustice on our hands. in the form of Battlefield 3. Now, if I were to describe it, I would describe Battlefield 3 as two games in one. You got this crappy little Call of Duty clone, which is the campaign where you play as a number of people. Sergeant Blackburn is the primary guy that you play as, but, you know, as with many modern shooters now, you'll be jumping around from one person to the next. The other game is a near-perfect multiplayer experience.
Okay, I'll sort of refute that right off the bat, because I didn't find it to be anywhere near a near-perfect multiplayer experience. I had countless problems. First of all, I think fans of the Battlefield franchise kind of know what they're getting into. A lot of it's more tactical, squad-based. You have vehicles and whatnot. But, I still found a lot of difficulties. First of all, we'll talk about, you know, the technical aspects, the difficulties of getting online and using the full service that Electronic Arts and DICE had planned out for us. And part of that was the battle log. And I understand, you know, you got a lot of people signing on, but this is a game that you've been preparing for a long time. And their battle log service, which is essentially something comparable to what Modern Warfare hopes will be with Call of Duty Elite, which is a paid-for subscription service. Battlelog is ideally a free service that will provide you with all sorts of stat tracking and clan formation information. The only problem is 1 week into the lifespan of Battlefield 3, it is utterly non-existent. There have been countless problems. Most people, including myself, haven't been able to activate their account. And so there's this service that's supposed to be out there that you can't use right now. I know last night, and I'm referring to Thursday night, I was unable to even log in because the EA Origin servers were shut down entirely. So that's not a near-perfect online multiplayer experience.
Yeah, but
and for myself, as far as the playability goes, I mean, you know, with the Frostbite 2 engine, something that I'm sure, Calhoun, you'll get into a little bit more with the campaign, it looks fantastic. It sounds better than any first-person shooter I've ever encountered, but it's almost too realistic in that most of the time I can't see, you know, guys that I'm supposed to be shooting at, and I'm respawning in a squad or at a particular point. There are three main modes in the multiplayer, which we'll also get into, but you find yourself respawning and then ultimately dying right away way too often, and to me, I find that to take away from the experience, and I found I was so very frustrated. The ability or lack thereof to level up your specific character in each specific class is a slow process as well, and I think what that does is it makes the people who are really good, it makes them excel quicker, and the people who aren't as skilled, they fall back by the wayside, and they end up getting stuck in this, you know, system where they're unable to succeed, and it's very frustrating for me. I wouldn't call it anywhere near a perfect multiplayer experience.
What I would like to say to that, Zach, is that, as we all know, reviews are very personal things. They're your opinions. I kind of am of the opinion that these problems that you're having, you know, besides the Battlelog thing, which is...
it's a glaring fault, yes.
Yes, but those other problems, I think those might be problems that not everybody will have. I did not have those problems.
Yeah, and I can understand that. You know, I alluded to that as well. The people who are, you know, well-versed in the Battlefield franchise will be able to succeed, but those who are, you know, just trying to get into the franchise and what is supposed to be their best entry into it, I think they're probably going to be a little bit disappointed, as I was.
But can't you say that about any multiplayer game?
Yeah, to some extent. I think in others, though, where there's a little bit more opportunity for customization, you can find yourself at least in a better position to succeed a little bit more so. There are people who will, you know, master the maps in a hurry, and that's actually one thing that I will credit Battlefield 3 with, is that the maps are so huge, it's that much more difficult to master them, quote unquote, and there's a lot of space that you can sort of run around and a lot of the time do nothing, which will keep you alive a little bit longer. But if you try and, you know, get into these encounters, which you're supposed to in this game, it's very difficult and frustrating, because, you know, everything looks so real, and these soldiers with their camouflage, they utterly blend in with their environments. And it just makes it difficult to survive. I had a very tough time with it.
I don't know what to say to that, because, I think those are all problems that are unique, not just to you, but not to everybody.
And that's fine. I understand what you're talking about. Go ahead.
But getting back, well, moment.
Okay, no, I wanted to say, like, that Zach's given us his points as to why the multiplayer has its issues, but you were saying that it's glowing, so let's hear.
Why do I think it's great? Because all through college, the game that defined my gaming days in college was Battlefield 2. I played the snot out of that game, and I loved every second of it. And I was worried when I was playing Battlefield 3 for the first time that you know, they that the campaign would have been changed a little bit to be more like Modern Warfare, which is not exactly, you know, I had a reason to be afraid, because if you played the beta, plenty of people have reported this, the beta kind of felt a little bit more like Modern Warfare should feel than actually the final Battlefield 3 game does feel now. But then I had this one moment when I'm playing in, I forget exactly what the name of the map is called, but there's a map where if you're playing on the U.S. side, you start from inside the carrier. I load up and I'm like, wait, this is familiar. I know this. This is the same carrier that, you know, was in Battlefield 2. And I'm like, I wonder if I can run up to the top, because in Battlefield 2, you could actually go through the ship and get up to the top, which you could. And the layout was identical. And you get to the top, and on the very top, there are like three or four of these little fast birds, I think they're called, these little tiny quick attack helicopters, which were also in Battlefield 2. And you jump in those, and they feel the same as in Battlefield 2. Everything just feels exactly like Battlefield 2. So as a Battlefield person, I could just jump right into it and have lots of fun in these huge maps, playing with all sorts of different vehicles. You know, you can jump into fighter planes, you can jump into helicopters, you can have these huge, intense, just completely insane, just completely unpredictable matches, where just things aren't scripted in the way they are in, like, a Modern Warfare game. Things are not where the very first person to see the other guy is the one who wins the firefight. Things are a little bit more tactical. These are all reasons why I really enjoyed Battlefield 3. I think it comes down to I played Battlefield 2. Battlefield 2 was a great game. Battlefield 3, pretty much identical, with, you know, a few good changes, a few bad changes. Some of the good changes are things like, you know, they've increased the depth of what you can do in the campaign in terms of things like, you know, now you can actually shoot a vehicle and disable it and it won't control very well. It happened to me plenty of times. I was in tanks where, you know, I get hit once or twice, and it's not just like I move back at the same speed as quickly as possible, you know, and just I'm on fire a little bit, maybe half my health is gone. The vehicle is not responding well. Or if you were in an airplane or a helicopter, you get hit, all of a sudden, you know, your rotor's not turning as fast as it should be. You start to lose control. They've done things like this. They've done a few things I did not like they, in Battlefield 2, there's like seven classes. They've kind of squished all those down to four. It being a console game, I played the console version of the game, not as much control over certain vehicles as I would like, specifically things like...
the plane?
Well, the plane, I felt I could control the plane, but I felt like I did not have, you know, the views that I require. Like, on the PC version, you can look around when you're inside the plane. I tried for the life of me to do this. There was no way to look around in the console version of the plane, and the radar...
Not when you're in the cockpit mode. When you're in the cockpit view, you can't. But when you go outside of the plane, when you click, I think it is R3, if I'm not mistaken, then you can maneuver around a little bit more. But I found that the jets to be very difficult to control, and that was one of my beefs as well. I mean, you can get into these, you know, tanks if you're spawning with your squad. You get into these tanks and you're roaming around. A lot of the times, you get, you know, a passenger side window, and you're just looking at the side of a wall, and then you get out of the tank, and all of a sudden, you know, you get creamed. And
yeah,
you know, it's a nice element that I think they've succeeded with in the past, and for the most part, you know, if you're well versed with the Battlefield universe, you will probably find some success with this time around as well. But I had so many countless frustrating moments that really, I mean, it's sad to say, but it left me.
Oh, there goes...
He was so depressed, he dropped it off.
There goes Zachary Cooper. He just dropped off. I guess the judge came out and was like, back to your courtroom.
He was so depressed, he fell right off the phone line. It's a sad thing. Obviously, he felt very intensely about Battlefield 3. And you want to know what? I guess I can understand that. As someone who did not have my experience, it's possible, you know, that you could have a lesser experience. But you know what? I do have that experience. And for me, Battlefield 3 is a near-perfect experience. Now, something Zach was talking about a second ago, which we really didn't get into too much, was that he was having troubles with some of the vehicles. Now, another really cool thing about multiplayer is that you can unlock vehicle upgrades. And what Zach was talking about earlier, he said to get yourself upgraded to rank up takes a long time. And for him, that's very discouraging. For me, actually, that's something to look forward to. That's a carrot on a stick that I can work towards. So it's two different sides of the coin. Now, a part of the game that I think you can only look at from one view, which doesn't have two sides that you can pick at like the multiplayer seems to have, is the single-player campaign. And this is where Battlefield 3 really fell apart for me. It's just that you and me, we've had these conversations, and Zach was in on these conversations
too. Is this the COD Battlefield?
Yes, where we talked about whether or not these two games should be compared to each other,
right,
and whether or not they should go head-to-head.
And you were vehemently opposed to the fact that they should be compared,
for
right?
a good reason, because okay. the times where I feel Battlefield falls apart are the times where it tries to be Call of Duty.
Right.
And literally tries to be. Now, I could forgive the whole Battlefield game if, say, there was one time or one little set piece in the game that kind of felt like it was from the Call of Duty franchise. If there was two of them, maybe I could say, you know, those ideas are just out there floating around. But it happens so many times that literally you can tell before they start to develop this game, everybody on the DICE development team who worked on the campaign obviously were playing Modern Warfare 1, 2, and the Black Ops game. Because there are things like the storyline in the campaign for Battlefield 3 is told through a series of flashbacks, which are strung together by an interrogation. You are being interrogated because you did something wrong, and the authorities are trying to find out the truth. Anyone who played Call of Duty Black Ops will remember that, because that's how they strung together their story. You know, there's just stuff like that that happens all throughout the game. I can pick out so many moments. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to, you know, spoil the game for people, but there are just so many times where you can go, yep, that was this scene in Call of Duty Black Ops.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I still feel like there is definitely comparison lines to be drawn, especially since they're coming out so close together. And, you know, I mean, COD is right around the corner. It comes out this Tuesday, doesn't it? Or no, it's the week after.
It comes out the week after.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, people don't have $140 to throw around that close together, so people are going to have to make their decisions as to whether they want to put 70 here or 70 there, and it's definitely an interesting comparison. So let's...
It's just really a shame, though, because there are some really awesome set pieces in the campaign. Now, throughout the entire campaign, I really wish I could explain it because, well, I'm not going to not explain the story because I'm worried about spoilers. I'm going to not explain the story because I don't know what the heck happened. I played for the entire game and it's so convoluted. The story is just so confusing. I do not know what happens. It has something to do with your guy, Sergeant Blackburn, chasing bad guys and weapons of mass destruction around the world. But there's also some really cool parts in this game. There are some really awesome set pieces which don't feel like they're taken from Call of Duty. And those are the time when the campaign shines. The problem is that there's just not enough of those moments, and there are too many Call of Duty moments into this campaign to make it really feel like it's worth your money. So, once again, there are two games in here. There's the clone of Call of Duty, which I did not enjoy, and there's multiplayer, which I seem to enjoy a lot. Zach did not seem to enjoy as much as I did.
All right, so lay it on us. Give us a score for Battlefield 3.
Overall, as the entire package, I'm giving it a 7.5.
7.5.
The multiplayer is wonderful, and if you're a fan of first-person shooter multiplayer, this is definitely a game I think you can get into. Single player, I think, detracts from the entire product, but I have to consider that, because it is part of the product, so I have to consider how that takes away from the entire experience, and I think it does.
All right, 7.5. I got to say, that's probably a pretty disappointing score for Battlefield, but that's what it is. We did speak to Zach ahead of time, and we knew that his score for Battlefield was also a 7.5, so 2 7.5s for Battlefield 3.
That's strange, because you were the one who talked to Zach. I didn't even talk to him. I had no idea
that's right.
He was going to make the score.
It's true.
And he just came to me and said that.
I also gave Kinect Sports Season 2 a 7.5, so it was a 7.5 kind of show. Want to quickly mention before we wrap it up, midnight Sunday night, that is the deadline to enter our Forza 4 contest. We are giving away 3 copies, including 1 deluxe edition with a racing wheel if you want to get it. So quickly get your entries in online. It's a pretty awesome prize pack. For Zach Cooper, who is off on jury duty, it's jury duty, not jury doo-doo. Myself, Omen Kreshi, and Brian Calhoun and Christine Chubb, this has been Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.